Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey now, Semper Fi, welcome into this Tuesday edition of Sports Talk on WWL along with Mark Menard at Master Control, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick, and we got a lot to unpack. Glad to have you aboard. Our Saints hour at 7 o'clock, Saints defensive end Cam Jordan. But first, you watched the game last night, huh, Bobby? The Packers game? Packers-Lions?
Well, I don't know. They did not want the Lions to have a chance to win.
What I'm alluding to is we're seeing more and more games impacted by the guys in stripes. There was a blatant no call, just like almost as egregious as the one that happened to the Saints in the NFC Championship game, wasn't called. So our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online at WWL.com is bad officiating the biggest threat to the NFL's popularity? And I think it is, Bobby. If you want to talk about anything declining viewership, the popularity, people not going to games, it's because the officiating has been horrendous. Let's just call it like we see it. And I think that the solution is, make them full-time. That's not going to happen. It won't happen because then they're going to have a referees association. You know owners don't like dealing with unions.
Right.
And then it's going to cost them more money. But there's no accountability for officiating. Zero.
Well, I mean, listen, I understand, if you're really attacking an opponent, whether you're offensive or defensive lineman, and you're pushing their neck back or something because of their face mask. But if you look at the play with Fowler, I mean, come on. Where he has him now, the offensive tackle for the Green Bay Packers did a great job acting, but that's two calls you cannot make. You cannot make because Holland, it definitely influenced the outcome. Now you could say, well, the line, instead of kicking field goals, they were getting turnover. They should have, scored touchdowns, but they played well enough to win. And listen, I'm not anti-Packer, you know that.
Right.
That was bogus, and the Lions got ripped off.
They did. And is bad officiating the biggest threat to the NFL's popularity? You tell me at 504-260-1870. You can text us at 870-870. Also, something to think about, power rankings. The Saints at third. They slipped from number 2 to 3. Ahead of them are the two remaining unbeatens in the National Football League, and that is the New England Patriots and San Francisco 49ers. Combined, Bobby, they have two wins against teams with a winning record.
Yeah, when you look at, strength of schedule, but I guess we just look at they have not lost a game, and that has a huge influence, I think, when the team's undefeated. And I don't know, we get the 49ers in the dome later on in the season, so I think that's going to take care of itself, and I think the Patriots are going to stay there. Even though they don't have the strength of schedule, they're still going to stay on top.
Yeah, I mean, I get the 49ers are unbeaten, but I look at who they've played. They haven't played anybody. They haven't really been tested. What's happened? I mean, the only team that they beat with a winning record was this last week against the Rams. And I think the Rams are a team that is in a little bit of
a decline.
A crisis. They just traded Marcus Peters, by the way. They traded him. So I think it's a team that is just kind of going on a slide a little bit. But the 49ers haven't beaten anybody.
Well, the 49ers, though, Christian, that I think they're not just a flash in the pan because they're going to win in the trenches. And that's one thing that if you're a 49ers fan, I'd be encouraged.
Yeah, they can get it done up front.
Yes, and I think that's going to bode well for them. I don't know what's going to happen in the NFC West, but to be a playoff team.
Do you think their defensive line is better than the Saints?
I have to see more to comment on that, but – if they're, it's like 1-1A, whatever. You look at the Bears D-line when they're healthy and who's playing. So, yeah, that's all in the conversation. And I think that does matter, even though pass happy league and how the rules are structured, that if you still could be dominant up front and be disruptive, that speaks volumes of your success.
And that always travels, whether you're
right
in a cold weather environment or in a Superdome. Yeah, climate control.
Grass, turf,
doesn't matter.
It's very stout.
Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Also, Akeem Hicks going on injured reserve for the Bears. That's their biggest interior disruptor that they have.
Well, when you try and compare it to the Saints, it wouldn't be Cam Jordan because that'd be more Khalil Mack.
Sheldon Rankins.
Okay, Sheldon Rankins is out, and Teron Armstead's out. Sheldon Rankins and Ryan Ramczyk.
Right, because Kyle Long is out as well.
Kyle Long is out. He's on injured reserve. So, yeah, it's not going to – the Bears still have a good formula, and it still could be a teens type of game. I would – I watch it'll be like, I don't think it'll be high scoring, but.
Right, turn into a shootout.
I'd be shocked if it'd be beyond 23-20. I think more like 17-13, that like low 20s to in the teens type game.
Chase Daniel looks like he's going to be at quarterback against the Saints.
Well, come on, you got to beat Chase Daniel. Come on.
Right? If I'm a Bears fan, I trust Chase Daniel more than I trust Mitchell Trubisky.
Well, to show you how. I guess the Bears, like Mike Dettelier would say, screwed the pooch. Is that look what they gave up, and they just moved up, what, one spot to draft Mitchell Trubisky. And look who got drafted later in that first round, Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson. What? Who has more upside, you think?
Those two that you just rattled off?
Pat Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson or Trubisky. It's not even close.
If you do this draft.
Trubisky might be a bust.
If you do that draft again, Mahomes.
Well, I don't know. He might not be a bust. He might just be good.
Solid.
Yeah. He will never be, I think, on the level.
He was picked number two.
Overall.
So that would be a bust because of the expectations.
Yes.
That comes with being number two.
Without a doubt. That's why even Eli Apple, I think Eli Apple's legit. Why he has so much pressure? Because he was the 10th overall pick in the first round.
Yeah.
If he was drafted late first round, second round, I think, oh, boy, you know, Eli Apple, you know.
They hit the lottery.
Yes. But it's like, oh, do you pay him? Do you not pay him? Well, I tell you what, he played against Jacksonville like you should pay him. I think as a group, that was our best effort. Secondary-wise, great game plan by Dennis Allen, the whole defensive staff. But you look what we were doing. Eli Apple, Lattimore, Von Bell, Marcus Williams. That was the rookie Marcus Williams.
Mm-hmm.
How active he was, a couple of pass defending that we've seen in that Jacksonville game like we saw his rookie year.
Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, your phone calls are next here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, before we get to the phone lines, I want to make an announcement. The NFL announced that Saints defensive back P.J. Williams has been suspended for 2 games, effective immediately, stemming from the DUI arrest this past offseason. If you're wondering about
the
timing
season,
of it,
the timing. What?
It could have been an appeal. Don't know for sure, but he could have appealed this a few times, and that leads us to the timing. Don't know that for certain, but he is suspended for 2 games, effective immediately. He will not play this Sunday against the Bears, nor the following Sunday against the Cardinals.
Well, that means we need P. Rob. Patrick Robinson to step up. Did we pay him big bucks for the Eagles? The top nickel corner when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. So that's why you have depth. So, listen, the reason why Patrick Robinson wasn't playing because P.J. Williams is better. So now here you got an opportunity to live up what the Saints believe in you as far as when they brought you on board from the Eagles. So,
all right,
interesting.
To the phones we go. Patrick, what's going on, Patrick, in Algiers? You're on WWL.
Hey, yes, sir. So, first off, yes, sir. Simplify that with dog.
Simplify, man.
So, my first comment is basically this. My son and I are watching the Saints game one Sunday, late in the game. Not sure if it was third down or fourth down. And the Saints stopped him. Defense stopped him, right? And I get all excited. I'm like, yeah. And he looks over at me. He says, I'm not excited until I find out if there's a flag on the play. You know what I mean? So. Definitely, the referees are too involved in the game. And it's just like, to me, the NBA. I don't even watch the NBA until the conference finals or the finals because they anticipate calls. And it's just it stops the flow of the game and people become disinterested.
Yeah, look, I'm with you, Patrick. It's getting to the point to where the officials should be invisible. A good official, a good umpire should be invisible practically. And I think they're having an impact on way too many games. They're and it's not just Bobby. It's not just a bang bang play, right? I can handle that. You miss a bang-bang play, all right, fine. You're human. But when you apply the rules incorrectly, like the crew did against the Houston Texans, the Saints and Texans, that's where I have a problem. And these egregious misses, these egregious no-calls can't happen. It's too important.
Well, and overall, the ebb and flow of the game was not bad against the Jacksonville Jaguars. It was like five total penalties that were accepted. So it wasn't like it was 5 times 3. It wasn't like 15. I think when it starts to be a problem, now, what approach do you take? Like, if I see something I'm not supposed to call it, I would say don't be nitpicking. It has to be almost obvious. I think the fans would appreciate that kind of game and not where both teams had double-digit penalties or both teams added up to like 15 to 20 penalties. I think if you could keep it in that single digit, you know, and it almost has to be egregious where, like, how can you not? You have to call that. And not like, that could go either way. I think that's what the fans want.
Yeah, they want good pace and a good product. And I think the officiating is affecting the product overall. Paul and Metairie, you're on WWL, Paul.
Yeah. I got to ask you something, Bobby. I remember when I used to go and watch you play San Francisco every year, okay, when it was a game that determined what was the championship. And I don't remember the officiating being like it is today. What changed to where the officiating
is? Well, player safety. Player safety for sure, I would say probably one. It'd be more protecting the players, that stuff they would never call that now they call. So, Chris,
but
you think
I'm talking about the bad plays. I'm talking about the bad calls.
Well, that's the bad calls, player safety.
Part of it.
Players would do helmet to helmet. It looked like a clean shot, old school, but now they're going to call that because they're trying to protect the players. A lot like, for instance, you can not even a helmet to helmet. You cannot even rush the passer and go low. You know, you got to hit him between the waist and the shoulders. If you're going too low, you're too close to his knees. We're going to throw a flag on you. So I think they're just trying to legislate or, I don't know how you do that, officiate a violent game. And it's because of player safety, I think that's one reason why, Paul, you have more flags where you would not have had maybe in the 80s or early 90s.
Through six games, the NFL has – well, the officials have tossed 1,682 flags through six games, the highest it's been in 25 years, 100 more flags than a year ago.
Well, and I think a lot of it has to do with player safety, helmet to helmet. If you even look at, like, you got to get that right. You cannot call hands to the face if it's not hands to the face. You got to get the right angle. And you might say, well, that's a human error. The official's not at the right angle. And the offensive tackle, like I said before, the Packers did a great selling job. His head's going back. So you might think that the defender's pushing him there. But no, if he gets him around the collar and he's just jacking him up. But then it looks like maybe he would have had him in the face mask area. Obviously, that didn't happen. When you slow it down now, when it's going full speed, I can see how official could miss that, especially if you're on a bad angle. So it's almost overkill when you talk about, I think, player safety and how obviously you're dealing with the neck area, you're dealing with the head, and they definitely are trying to avoid any type of impact or that comes into play as far as throwing a flag on that.
Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll online at WWL.com is bad officiating the biggest threat to the NFL's popularity. 63% say yes, it is. 37% saying no, it's not. Derek and Lacombe, what's going on, Derek? You're on WWL.
Hey, what's up? What's up, Christian? What's going on, Cannon?
How's it going?
Pretty good. Real quick question, just a question and an observation, just some comments from you guys. With the trade deadline coming up shortly, it's just my opinion, outside looking in, that man, if they're looking for any position, it would hopefully be another receiver opposite of Michael Thomas. Nothing against Ted Ginn. I think he's probably a good number three. Traquan Smith can't stay healthy. And if that is the case, and they are on the phones, as Deuce mentioned yesterday, who do you guys suspect they're looking at, and what do you think it would cost the Saints? And I'll hang up and listen to your responses.
You have an idea, Christian?
I don't. I don't know if they're actively, engaged in any kind of conversation. But look, that can happen quickly anyway.
But what's been disappointing, because you have OTAs, mini camp, training camp, where in the hell is Emmanuel Butler?
Practice squad.
Okay. Little Jordan Humphreys. Mm-hmm. Not in the practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
Then we keep him, Austin Carr. What? Couldn't he be a poor man's Willie Snead, Lance Moore? We don't even hear from him.
No, I think the caller's on to something in terms of should they be looking? Potentially, yes they should.
Yes, I think.
As far as a name, I don't have one for you.
Yeah, well,
and what it would cost, it depends on who you're
nation,
trying to get.
Who that nation? If you got a name out there, send us some names, because I can tell you right now, on the roster, it seems like they'd had an opportunity to contribute by now. Even little Jordan Humphries, who's been activated, and like I said, Emmanuel Bell on the practice squad, or Austin Carr. Isn't Austin Carr on the active roster?
Yeah.
But he's inactive on game day?
Sometimes he's been up this year.
I don't know, Chris. Let me look at my nose. Did he catch a ball?
No. I don't think he has a reception this year.
Yeah, I'm looking like, what? I don't see no Carr on the reception list.
Yeah, as far as names, we can do some digging, but I can tell you this. I think we all agree that we would not be upset if they went out and grabbed a complimentary weapon to Mike Thomas. But at what price? I mean, if you're going to grab a superstar, well, A, that's going to be under a big contract, and B, it's going to cost you draft capital and serious draft capital.
Well, we're going to get some texts now. Well,
A.J. Green, Demaryius Thomas.
We're going to get some texts also.
Dez Bryant.
Dez Bryant.
Dez Bryant's a free agent.
Yeah, Dez Bryant should be rehabbing now, huh, Christian?
Yeah, but I mean, is he really?
No, I'm joking.
Yeah, okay.
I
just think Dez is Dez. Dez's days are probably done in the NFL.
I don't even know if Dez is even still working out.
I don't know. Coming back for your calls also, Ollie Cosell.
Now, A.J. Green.
Yeah, but the Bengals have already said they're not trading him.
Yeah.
And that'll cost you a first or second round pick, at least.
A.J. Green's the number one receiver.
Yeah. He's under a big contract, too, by the way. Oh. Got to consider that. It's not like Madden where you can turn the fair trade clause off. Ollie Cosell, the Birds writes.
Oh, look, we got to call next. Christian. Bridgewater missed, Austin Carr wide open. Do you remember? I don't remember that.
I trust the texters, though. Yeah. This is Sports Talk on WWL. Taking a little time out from Saints football and the NFL, going to talk a little Pelicans basketball. Ollie Cosell, editor-in-chief, thebirdwrites.com. Ollie, how are you, man? The Pelicans preseason's been pretty exciting.
Well, you're undefeated. I mean, we haven't seen that in these parts. What, Ollie? I don't know. If they have a complete undefeated preseason, what in the hell does that mean? Nothing or what?
Actually, I've looked at that stuff in the past, guys. I don't think they've ever had an undefeated season, but they've had a couple where they've either had one loss or two. And when you look over history, it actually is a good precursor of what the season is going to be about, especially when you're coming off a rough season. And suddenly a team shows a lot more potential, a lot more wins in preseason. They usually go on to have a really good season. So I don't want to get too excited because it is preseason. But, guys, I mean, Zion is absolutely destroying the competition. And we already know the rest of this team, right? They're deep up and down that roster, so why not?
So, Ollie, when you look at it, playing in Madison Square Garden, obviously people say, oh, I want to go see Zion, kind of like LeBron, wherever they play. I mean, does he play a half? Or how much do you think Coach Gentry, and as far as his strategy going into the regular season, as far as how he treats this game, is the second half is basically like that last preseason game of football or what?
No, actually, usually it's the other way around, especially with Gentry. In past years, he's always made that last preseason game kind of like a regular season game.
Oh, wow.
So the rotations we'll see, I think, for at least the first three quarters, it's going to be what we're going to likely see during that first week of the regular season. How he finishes the game, I don't know yet, because as you know, we've got a pretty deep team, so he's got a lot of choices. But again, I'm fully expecting Drew Holiday to play more minutes than he has all preseason. Same with the other main guys.
Ollie, right now, what you've seen in the preseason, what are some takeaways?
Oh, how much time do you guys have? it's a lot, man.
Give me your top two. Give me your top two.
Yeah, okay. Top one, you got to mention Zion right off the bat. I just recently was curious to see how NBA rookies, you know, the elite guys like the Blake Griffins, the LeBrons, how they've done in their rookie preseason. And nobody, guys, has scored as many points and had such a high field goal percentage as Zion Williamson.
Whoa.
I think this guy's going to be the real deal. I think he's going to take the league by storm, and we're just going to be witnesses. As for the rest, you've got to point to the depth, I guess. I mean, you've got Drew Holiday, who's literally coasting to incredible numbers. You've got Nikhil Alexander-Walker, and let's face it, the Pels might have the two most, you know, impactful rookies this season on the same team, right? I know John Morant's going to be good in the Grizzlies, but they're going to be a terrible team. So, honestly, Nikhil could end up number two in rookie balloting at the end of the year.
Ollie, right now, a bit of a controversy going on with LeBron James. He stepped in it about China.
I hate it. Look, there was no reason for him to assert anything now, especially, was it 7-10 days after, you know, it initially happened. And for him to say something now, it looks terrible because he's calling out Daryl Morey. He's calling him uneducated. He's talking to making
LeBron's uneducated. LeBron doesn't know a history. LeBron's uneducated, taking on the side of communism. Come on.
Bobby, I fear it might be even worse. I think he actually came out in front of all the people for one reason alone, and that was his own pockets. He
Amen.
Talked like an owner. He honestly sounded like an owner, and that scared me. For a guy that's always stood for social injustice, right, suddenly to do a 180 and do what he did yesterday, it's unforgivable in my book.
Ollie, I tell you, you hit it right on the head. And listen, if you truly just look up, you can see Hong Kong's history, a British colony, and all of a sudden in China and how it's supposed to be a slow process. But when all of a sudden that when he talks about Daryl Morey, that I believe he wasn't educated on a situation at hand and he spoke. And then when he made this statement, and I think for me personally, for any of you guys who know me or always cover me, you know that when I speak about something, I'm speaking about something I'm very knowledgeable about. This is the worst thing LeBron has ever said. He sounded like he has no freaking clue what's going on over there. All it is bottom line is money. That's the only reason why you
And that's why we know that's it. Yeah. Bobby, that's why we know that's why it is, because of how bad he did sound. How he did sound so uneducated on the matter and why it came so late. There was no reason for him to say it now other than he felt that pressure. I've got to protect my pocketbook. There's a pressure, you know, from China, from our market.
Right.
And, you know, he got it from all sides. So
just stay out of it.
I hate it.
I mean, his best thing to do would have been just stay out of it.
That's what he was doing for the longest. That's why, you know, James Harden the other day, right? He refused to answer anything on it. The best thing for NBA players is to sit on the sidelines and to come out against democracy, against freedom of speech. And like I said, it's just so blatantly obvious. It is about the bottom dollar, man, just making a buck. It's the worst look possible.
Yeah, and when you look at the future, if you truly human rights and freedom of speech, how can you not be a pro-Hong Kong? I mean, listen, communism has failed. It has not worked. It has not worked in Cuba, Venezuela. You go look, it's in North Korea, wherever it's been, it has not worked. And then you look at even China, somewhat, you know, when you look at how successful that country is, that almost somewhat of a different version of a capitalistic business model, but you don't have any human rights. If you say something, you just disappear. Come on, how about the guy standing in front of the tank, Tiananmen Square, 1989? Where's that guy? He's probably in the ground, or you never heard from him again.
Yeah, I'll never forget that Time picture, right on the cover of cover of Time. But
yeah,
look, China is such an economic powerhouse, and to see everybody bending, and that includes the NBA, that includes LeBron James.
10% of their revenue, Ollie.
Yeah,
10% of their revenue.
I know, it's awful.
Ollie, let's get back to the Pelicans if we can. So you said that the preseason is often in the NBA a pretty good indicator as to how the season could play out. Completely opposite, really, in the NFL, or really you can't draw any conclusions in the NFL. So should that ramp up the excitement level that is already built up pretty strong for the Pelicans?
I think it should, but you know what? It's hard to imagine New Orleans getting any more excited. You guys hear it probably every day on the radio, and you get callers. You're talking more about the Pelicans every day. I hear it out and about. I think unless this team gets off to like a 5-0 or 10-0 start, it's hard to imagine, you know, them being more excited. But that being said, let's see them get off to that good start. because we've seen great flashes in every preseason game. We've seen where they have the number one offense. You want excitement. You want to see high-flying stuff. The Pelicans have athletes, and they score. So, yeah, this is going to be the most exciting team, I think, that we've ever seen here in New Orleans since they first arrived in 2002.
Now, Ali, obviously, football season, look at the success of Tulane, LSU, the Saints right now. We're not even at Halloween yet. But all of a sudden, then you got Thanksgiving, you got Christmas, and then I think we get more involved. But I think if the Pelicans get off to a fast start, what I mean, I say fast start, I don't know, a dozen games. So where do you think they'll be after 10 or 12 games? You think the fan base will be ecstatic and on board and say, God, I don't have enough days in the week. I'm supporting this and that. I want to be involved. Right. But what do you think? How important is to get to the fast start and keep this momentum rolling?
Bobby, first of all, you're scaring the heck out of me. We're going to about to jinx maybe how well Louisiana sports or professional and college are both doing right now. So I'm afraid to answer it. But look, I'll be honest. They've got a tough schedule. It's at like 15 or 16 of their first 20 games are coming against playoff caliber teams. So honestly, personally, I'm just hoping to see something around 10 and 10. You know, I would live with that. You would live with a team that honestly has shown no cohesion on the defensive end so far in preseason. Yeah, I know they've won every game, but it's come down to the wire, and they've usually had to beat second and third groups. And I'm talking about reserves off the bench in order to secure those wins. That's not going to happen in a regular season. So I think you got to dial back the expectations. But again, I think that excitement, that fun, some really great wins are going to happen in that first quarter of the season.
Ali, I'm pumped, and my expectations aren't, hey, playoffs are bust. I mean, this is an organization that has been completely rebuilt, almost from top to bottom, in every way. I just want a Pelicans basketball game on a Saturday night in the Smoothie King Center, and then a Saints game on Sunday. I mean, this city, I think, would be so cool to see how alive this city would be on the sports front. And then you have an LSU game that day as well, and maybe it's a late tip and it's an early kickoff for LSU and a late tip. For the Pelicans, I think you could just gobble it all up.
I think it's going to happen. And look, here's the most beautiful part. Suddenly, this Pelicans whole franchise, suddenly they're outgoing. Suddenly, they're kind of mimicking the Saints, right? Where the players are being vocal, where they're showing up at, you know, the other sporting venues. You don't understand, for those that haven't followed Pelicans basketball in the past, how this team was never out there publicly, how these players weren't supporting other, you know, franchise, like I said, Tulane, LSU, you name it. These guys are. So that's going to make this all even more sweeter. That's going to make these fans latch on to all these guys a lot quicker.
Now, Ali, I know Coach Gentry mentioned this, and I want to read this text also because I think it's right on. It's from 2090. I'm excited, but realistically, they've been behind in 3 or 4 games when the starters were in. And I know Coach Gentry talked about getting off to a slow start. Do you take that into consideration? No, great comebacks. I'm glad you could come back, but we haven't come out the gate like I think Coach Gentry wants the team to.
No, you're 100% right, and that's what I was kind of alluding to. You got to dial it back a little bit with these expectations at the start of the season. Yeah, I mean, look, the defense has been just terrible. These starters have been outplayed in first quarters in every game but the first one against the Atlanta Hawks, and as we know, they're probably not going to be a playoff team. So, yeah, even though you got Drew, you got Zion doing great things, the other guys haven't really been there. You know, Lonzo's been hit or miss. Brandon Ingram, he's coming back from not touching a basketball for 5 months. So he gets the leeway, but again, don't expect him to be the guy that he's going to be about 40 games from now. And guys, the biggest worry for me is Derek Favors. He has not looked that rim defending, that assault down low on the paint like he has with the Utah Jazz so far in our preseason. I think that injury, he had a hammy, some kind of problem at the start of this preseason, and I think it's still affecting him because he's looking slow out there.
Ali Cosell, editor-in-chief, thebirdwrites.com. Good stuff as always, Ali. Thanks, man.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ali.
Coming back from Marty and Lacombe, Mark in Minneapolis, and you two at 504-260-1870. Is bad officiating the biggest threat to the NFL's popularity? Text us at 870-870. Also, log on to our website at WWL.com and cast your vote in our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll. Bobby and Christian here on Sports
Talk. How about
Talk. This
one, Christian? Shame on the Pelicans that they ever play in China. I mean, there's a lot of people who take that approach.
Yeah, I wouldn't want the Pelicans playing in China right now. I just wouldn't.
That just goes to show you.
Another texter said.
That just shows you how the almighty dollar Listen, the bottom line, I'm telling you, why is the NBA and the commissioner and the whole, like LeBron and all, it's all about the money. It's nothing else. Social justice. Come on, NBA, they smart enough. LeBron, he has people around him. You got to realize when you get involved. In. Yo, you in the losing argument, talk about social justice to back up
communism.
China. Now, not Hong Kong, China. Chinese people are good, but the government. You know why you never hear no dissent from the people? Because they can't say nothing. If you say something, you go to some camp. And it's not summer camp.
93-14, you talk about LeBron, don't know what you're talking about. Call us. Call us. Tell us what we don't know what we're talking about. Call us. Tell me. Point out instances, 93-14, where we don't know what we're talking about. Point them out. 260-1870. This is Sports
Talk
on WWL.
Please call and defend LeBron. I want to hear this.
Back here on Sports Talk, we'll squeeze in Mark in Minneapolis. Go ahead, Mark. You're on WWL.
Hey, gents, good to talk to you again. Hey, listen, Patrick, he kind of stole some of my thunder about the fans and so forth. So I wanted to share something. A buddy of mine is an NHL official, and we actually had drinks last night. And he was talking about the crisis that the NHL went through a few years ago and how they fixed it. And the NFL needs to do three things. The first is they need to simplify the rules and make them more congruent with the speed of the game and the strength of the game. That's the first thing they need to do. The second thing is...
Okay, Mark, I understand that. But that sounds kind of generic. Simplify the rules.
What the hell does that mean? I'll give you an example. So you remember the holding penalty that Sean Hill got a couple of games ago? Right, he wasn't really... For instance, let's take holding, for example.
Right.
Holding should be very, very clear. Okay, great. You got your arms outside the shoulder pad.
Yeah, so it's extended.
Of alignment. Yes. Yeah, right. And maybe you're actually pulling under the ground. So simplify it so that it's easy to identify.
It's obvious.
Right, exactly. So that's the first, and they need to go across the board, look at every rule, how can we simplify it and everything else.
Mark, what they really need to do, though, is have an accountability in place. Something to hold their feet to the fire other than just a grade, and if you get a bad grade, you could potentially not do postseason games.
So
there needs to be some sort of fine.
But wait, Mark, I think you're making some good points. We got to talk to him next hour because he gave one. He has two more, I think.
Mark, we'll get to you again next hour. We're up against the hard CBS and news headlines as well. So sit tight, Mark. I will bring you back into the conversation in about 8 minutes here on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.